to open our Bibles tonight and begin a study by the grace of God in this wonderful, full of grace book, the book of Romans. And I thank God that as we begin this journey, it is, our salvation's new every day. And I thank the Lord that, it's by His Spirit, more light upon light, as we go into this precious letter from Paul to these Romans that were so full of faith. And tonight, in this journey, I know that we've heard, and I believe have been encouraged in hearts, that many have referred to this precious letter as the hub of the Word of God. Well, I'd even like to add tonight, it's a book that has everything. I really do believe it. I think from the basics of salvation, you can read that verse, Romans 10:9 or even 10:13, and the simplicity of receiving Christ Jesus as Savior. You can understand in this precious epistle that it's by grace and not by works, over and over, but especially in the 11th chapter. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. And then also in that wonderful 8th chapter, we also receive that as children we're heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ, if so be, that we suffer together with Him, that we may also be glorified together with Him. And I think about how precious, all just in one little letter. And really, brothers and sisters, if we would take all of Romans in, I'm assured in my heart, by God's grace, we'd win His best. But I think of how much God loves us in that great love wherewith we are loved. He gave us another 65 more books of the Bible to rejoice in His precious truth and love to us. You talk about a Savior. You talk about a Father. And you talk about, praise God, the Holy Ghost, the power of His might, that He sent to us to have this love shed abroad in our hearts. So as we get into this Romans letter, I hope that we praise Him even the much the more, how much we have been blessed. And yes, the blessings of all the spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ. Now this epistle, as we get into this as well too, and for those that have gone with the Lord and all by His grace for some time, you understand that this precious book of Romans, it unlocks all of the other epistles that Paul writes. And I really believe Romans lays out the gospel of Christ in a detailed simplicity from beginning to end, like really no other book of the Bible. I love how Brother Copley says it. He says, Romans is the book that makes you feel right at home in the Father's house. And that's the truth, it really does, because you realize that the just shall live by faith. And brothers and sisters, this book, this precious Romans, is absolutely vital to understand and receive. And I'm saying understand and receive if really the whole counsel of God and the high calling of God in Christ Jesus is really what our life is about. I thank God for that. I thank God that even the divine order of Romans, meaning I'm talking about its placement in the Bible, how perfect it is. So many things to talk about in this. Paul wrote 14 books or letters in the Bible. And this letter to Rome, in its order that he wrote, was probably maybe number 5 of the different books that he wrote. In its order. But yet we know that it's the first letter of Paul's writings in the Word of God. And there's no mistake in that. God so divinely ordered the whole Word of God in its order. But especially with this Romans being the first letter of Paul, because I believe that Romans is the high water mark emphasis of the Word of God of faith in grace. And I want to repeat that again. It's the high water mark emphasis of faith in grace. Not faith in yourself. Not faith in your merits or your efforts. But absolute faith and confidence, brothers and sisters, in grace. See, without faith in grace, we missed it. And we have talked about this and rejoiced in this because we realize that we are his workmanship. And without faith in grace, you might as well not even try to venture into Paul's other epistles because, again, faith in grace is the key to growing on and going on with God. We grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I thank God that the simplicity is all in that grace. And I thank God that it's on that grace path that we go right into the midst of the throne, ruling and reigning with him. So faith in grace is faith, brothers and sisters, in the great love of God for you and for me. Faith in grace is the absolute assurance that we can never be separated from the love of God. When you know you are loved, you're confident. When you know you are loved, you move in boldness. When you know that you are loved, you appreciate it. You're thankful. There is an expression of freedom, praise God, and exactly what God has given us and whom he has made free is free indeed. The grace of God is our power source. Praise the Lord is our rock, our quickening. His unending, undying, unmerited love, praise God, is our strength. I appreciated, again, someone saying, the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. Well, that is the joy that is my strength. The joy of the Lord, praise God, knowing that he took those stripes. He put himself and held that cross together. He became sin for me because he loved me. And I thank the Lord for that. And the Father gave him freely for that as well. How much we are loved. How great a love wherewith we are loved. That is strength, brothers and sisters. And as we go on into this letter, I'm thankful to God how this is written to the saints in Rome. And we will read here very quickly that these saints in Rome, their faith was known throughout the world. Their faith was famous to other Christians. People knew that these Roman saints, they loved the Lord. And I thank God. I'll tell you what, if you were in Rome in that day and you sought God, let me tell you something, you were in the heart of Babylon. You loved God. There weren't many that loved God at that time there. And if you were standing, praise the Lord, in that precious faith and that grace and love, let me tell you something, you had some great faith. And Paul was encouraged by these sweet ones. But as we get into this, you'll see that the first 11 chapters of this precious letter to the Romans is not specifically to the Romans. It's doctrine. It's very, very intense and deep and sweet doctrine, the first 11 chapters of this book. You'll notice that there's really nothing personal to the Romans. It's doctrine, praise God, to God's precious people. But in the 12th chapter of Romans, it all changes, and it's wonderful. It becomes very specific and very intimately written to the Romans, those saints that were there at that time. And we'll read of the spiritual gift that was imparted to them at that time, which was you need to love more. Praise God. They had great faith. They had great faith, but Paul wanted them to understand they needed to love more. And from the 12th chapter on, when we get to that point, you're going to see it's all about the love of God. And I thank the Lord for that. Everything about Romans is about the love of God, but I'm talking about the love working effectually in you to win his best. And I thank the Lord how he will bring this out if he tarry. And praise God, I'm praying he'll just bring it forth. And again, that exceeding abundant in our lives. But it goes into that great detail of that great love and faith that is needed to win him. So without further delay, I believe that's all the introduction God wanted me to give. I think you can read different things about where this was written from, how this was written, and all these different things. But I'm telling you, I'm kind of anxious to get swimming in the grace of God here tonight. So we're going to go ahead and read verse 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. And I love this. See, Paul was called to be an apostle. He didn't, again, grow up wanting this thing or anything of himself. God called him. God plucked him out. And I thank the Lord that it says a servant of Jesus Christ. But see, this isn't a servant like most people would think of it. Oh, he's a server. He's going to put it on a platter for God. And he's going to go here for God and there for God. Let me tell you something. It's far more than that. This means a prisoner. Paul was a prisoner of the love of Jesus Christ. And I thank God that I want to follow Paul as he followed Christ. And what imprisoned Paul was the Word of God. I was always thankful how a sister wrote me at one time about the line upon line and precept upon precept. She said those are like the crisscrosses of the bars when we're prisoners for Jesus Christ. All around us, how sweetly we are separated to God. And this word, separated unto the gospel of Christ, it's a very special meaning even in that. Separated means here, off limits. Paul was off limits to everybody else but God. He was shut up to God. He was the Lord's own. Praise God. This is getting right into bridal talk immediately. If we really want this, brothers and sisters, we become separated to Him. The Holy Ghost, you talk about sanctified to the Lord, set apart to God. That vessel, praise the Lord, only for the Master's use. I always used to rejoice how Brother Hill would talk about the mustache cup. He might put a fine vase out for everybody to see, and in a house there might be a big sculpture or whatever, but those intimate things that only that Master would use, like the mustache cup, he wasn't going to share that with anybody else. This is what this is talking about. Shut up to God. See, Paul, man didn't have any use for Paul. Matter of fact, man despised Paul. Man ridiculed Paul. Man said, well, look at there. He was such an educated man. He was so famous. He was all these things. And look, he went after God, and look what became of Paul. We read about those things, brothers and sisters, but let me tell you something. I don't want to be highly esteemed to this world. Being highly esteemed to this world, chances are I'm not going to be highly esteemed to God. It's not going to be that way, brothers and sisters. We cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot be neutral. You can't be somewhere in between. You're either going to go with God or you're going to go with the things of the world. That's the way it is. But brothers and sisters, I want us to understand that this is a drawing. This is a love. This is a something that the Holy Ghost causes in our hearts that you almost can't help yourself. You just got to go. That's what love does. Love causes you to leave the familiar. Love causes men and women to leave comfortable homes where they're taken care of and all these things and get kooky and think, well, you know what? All we're going to live on is love. And they do it anyways. And you know what? A lot of times they're very, very happy. But praise be to God, this lover, when you go with him, he takes care of everything. You're not going to worry about what he can provide because he provides it all, doesn't he? It's wonderful. And that's the step of faith that we have to have as we go with God all along the way, because God is not going to let us go by sight. Matter of fact, he's going to have things in our lives that we feel and that we actually see and maybe even think that are completely opposed to what his plan is for us. You're going to see things and you're going to feel things and you'll say, God, how can I go that way? It does not look good, but God is telling you and leading you, we're going this way. And I thank the Lord in that. And again, that is the very love of God. So Paul, this precious servant, yes, a prisoner of the love of God, captivated in his thoughts, a complete affection only and for the love of Jesus. Verse 2, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, or the Holy Ghost, by the resurrection from the dead. And I thank God how Paul establishes this proof of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ from the words of the prophet, from the seed of David, praise God, evidenced by the Holy Ghost power raised from the dead. See how much we need to know the power of his resurrection in our life? I love that. Praise be to God. That was the evidence and the power of God raising his son from the dead. And to know him in the power of that in our lives right now. Praise the Lord, brothers and sisters. This is the very power of his might that he has given to us. He is the I am. He is the Son of God. He is King of kings and Lord of lords. This is our God. This is our Savior. This is our love. This is our friend that sticketh closer than a brother. This is the one that appoints it all. This is the one that has created every before ordained good work for your life that you should walk therein. Tailor-made, brothers and sisters, help us, dear Lord. The just shall live by faith. And here's where we're on. We're on this track. Now, let's really notice verse 5. By whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. Oh, I love that, brothers and sisters, how much God is for us. But here it says, by whom we receive grace and apostleship. See, everything comes from the Lord. Amen. Everything comes from him. He's our all sufficiency. He has given us all this great grace. And think about what he's saying here. It's he's saying that the power source of everything in our life is grace. The full, exceeding, and abundance provision of grace. It's all in me. And praise be to God, Christ is in us and we are in Christ. We have it all. It's all there. We're us in him. The life that lives in us, praise God, will make it happen. His life freely given to us by faith gives us the same complete access to the Father, because the life of Christ, the same life of Jesus Christ, lives in every believer. I love that. I thank God that I don't go in as a distant relative. It would be great. I mean, that would have been a good thought anyways. Well, I'm a friend of Jesus's. Yes, I am. But praise be to God, I am a son of God. I have the very life of Christ in me. See, it's just exceeding beyond how he did that. He gave every believer, and that was the only way you could be a believer, is the life of Christ had to come in. Hallelujah. Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. You are my personal Savior. And bam, at that moment, he came to live in my life. Now I could be accepted to God. God could only see his Son. And that was the only way it was ever going to be. His life had to come and to live in us. Now do you see why we shouldn't be afraid or hesitant to go into the throne room? I never even want my natural sons to be afraid or hesitant to come to see me. I'm their dad. And when they're in trouble, I really want them to come and see me. I do. I cringe, but I want them to come. The last thing I want them to do is when they get in trouble is to go hide, to go away. I want to help. I really do. You're probably going to get a spanking. But I want to help you. And a spanking is going to help you too. How much more so our Heavenly Father. God, help us to know how much he loves us, how much he covets that fellowship. And I can honestly say, as a dad and as my sons grow older, and I thank God, I want them to grow up to be those fully finished men of God. That's the desire. Whatever God does in the after effects of going after God, praise the Lord. Doesn't matter. It's about winning him. Isn't that right? Isn't that what we're here for, is to win him? Be fully purposed in that, what God has given us, to whom much is given, much is required. God, help us to have that insatiable desire for one another, for our children, for all these things. Above anything, brothers and sisters, that we win Christ. That's forever. Again, our thought process is about that far in front of our heads. You know, this is how far we can see. God, as he sees things, is looking right throughout eternity. He's looking forever. Praise be to God. That's how he sees it, and that's how he sees our life. And it's the importance of trusting God right now to be that full inheritance to him. But I thank the Lord in this, how it's so wonderful that he gives us freely this precious grace. But notice here again, back in verse 5, I want to stay with this here. Grace is what gives us faith. See what that says there? By whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith. And that's even more so. Not only does he give us faith, brothers and sisters, but he gives us grace for obedience to faith. I love it. Obedience to it. Grace commands us to submit to believing God. It's wonderful. Grace really does command us. It doesn't force us, but it commands us. It causes us to submit. It causes us to surrender. Grace causes you to see the love of God. Grace causes you to believe in the love of God. And again, we talk about that, that faith worketh by love. You'll never really believe the Lord unless you see his love for you. Let me tell you something. When God would do mighty things, and I'm talking about when he'd send fire down from heaven and he'd part seas and he'd destroy people and all that, let me tell you something. Everybody feared God at that moment. But fearing God doesn't get it. Believing in the love of God is what gets it. A sinner can fear. And a sinner feared many times watching what God did. But it didn't necessarily move him to believe God. Love causes you to believe God. Love, hallelujah, that he gave his only begotten son. That's the message. I love you so much. I gave you my son. Think of that, parents. Think about those that have children here. How much would you have to love somebody to give somebody your child? It's the truth. And I'm just telling you, I wouldn't. I just wouldn't. But God so loved, he gave. And he gave the perfect one. And he didn't just give him. He gave him to be abused, verbally, physically, hated, and to become sin for all men. That's how much God loved. You see that? That's why John 3:16, that's why that is so magnificent. That's why we believe, for God so loved. Amen? See, God could have put fear in everybody's heart and just forced them to bow immediately. But that wasn't his plan. His plan was, see how much I love you. See what I'm giving you. I'm giving you my son. Amen? That's it. And that's everything. That's the whole walk, is to continue to see that unmerited, undeserved, unending, all-powerful love that transforms us from glory to glory, even into the image of him. And I thank God for this. And I thank him for that assurance. But see, grace causes us to submit. That's really how it works. Grace causes us to surrender to the truth. It doesn't cause us to go by sight. But all because of love, I surrender and I believe the word of God. I don't try to reason it in my mind. I don't try to wrestle with the truth, or it won't happen. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. That's the simplicity. That's the faith like a child. And I thank God and I pray, Lord, always let me have that childlike faith, because that's the faith that grows up. That's the faith that goes on. All right, in verse 6, it says, among whom are ye also called of Jesus Christ. So see, Paul now is confirming these are the grace ones. We're called by Jesus Christ because of his grace. Grace himself called them. In verse 7, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called, and I encourage you, cross out to be, because you're not called to be saints, they are called saints. All right, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And again, and thank God for it, you'll never have peace until you receive grace. It will never happen. You'll never have peace tonight, tomorrow, or any time until you just receive the grace of God. He loves you, and in that love, praise God, he'll perform the good work which he's begun. It's right here. Let that be peace. Hallelujah. It is your peace. He is your peace. The word of God is your peace. Now believe it and go on with him. But in verse 7, I love it. He calls them beloved, doesn't he? That's much loved. And again, they are saints. Now are we the sons of God. Not going to be, praise the Lord. We now are seated in the heavens in Christ. Verse 8. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ. Isn't that wonderful? Let's get that right done now. I thank God in Jesus Christ. Isn't that the first thing we should do always? Amen. I love it. For you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. Now see, Paul is thankful for these people. You know why he's thankful for them? They believe. They believe the word of God. He is thankful for their faith. He is thankful that they please God. Isn't that wonderful? Praise the Lord. See the simplicity of the gospel of Christ. See, without believing the word of God, we don't have hope. We don't. Good thoughts, good deeds are all good for nothing without believing and faith being the driving force behind it all. Faith without works is dead. But brothers and sisters, it comes by faith first. It's not works, it's faith. Faith produces these things in our life. And that is why Paul is so encouraged with these saints. And in their faith, he never, never, never ceases praying for them. Why do you think the Lord puts on our heart every time we get together to pray especially for these saints in these other meetings that we know are preaching and going on in the message of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus? Because I love their faith. I love Christ in them, the hope of glory. I am so thankful to God that they see that. I am so thankful to God that I know in spirit there's a unity, hallelujah, of the spirit there. And I know by God's grace that that is my body. I'm part of that body. That body, praise God, from within that body, that's going to be out of that body, that is loving his appearing. That's the body. That's the fellowship. And those are the ones, I'll tell you what, I fervently pray for. Run well, if by any means, get insatiable, more fiery than yesterday. Praise the Lord. And I thank the Lord for those things. They encourage me. See, it wasn't Paul wasn't continuing to pray for them because they'd done a lot of charitable works or they had great missions out there or they were planning to build big buildings. He prayed for them because of one thing and the only thing that pleases God, their faith. That's it. That's what he was so thankful for. Not how they looked, not how many numbers they had. He appreciated and prayed for them constantly because of faith, because it is all by faith. Think about how Brother Paul finally salutes Timothy. I have fought a good fight. Again, faith. I have finished my course. Yes, faith. I have kept the faith. Praise the Lord, we know that it is that faith, and praise God, that most holy faith that pleases God, that finished course of faith. And notice here too in this verse, which I think is something so sweet, Paul serves not by works or duty, but he says right there in verse 9, I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son. See, it's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I thank God. See, Paul was always dependent upon grace. Paul didn't say, well, I'm different because God called me differently or God chose me differently. God encouraged Paul to always preach, I am what I am by the grace of God. Amen? And that's why he could say that so sweetly, not unto me only, honeys, but unto all them also that love his appearing. To all them. I want to be all them. That's what I want to be by God's grace. And how simple that is. Again, by the grace of God. And I think about that amazing power of love that he has for us. But listen here to the love in verse 10 as we go on. Making request, if by any means. Now I think I've heard that before. Now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. Boy, I'll tell you what, he really wanted to come unto these people. And if you know one thing about Paul, what was he after? Growth, wasn't he? He wanted more growing. Hallelujah. And we're going to read about that growing here in just a minute. But see, if by any means. Paul's not just saying that again by the Spirit just for nothing. This is that if by any means desire to fellowship with that body, to be with these people that truly will run and receive God's best, that want to receive the whole counsel of God. Paul had a desire, if by any means, to be with those ones. He loved the body as much as he loved the head. He did. You have to understand that. That's the bride of Christ. There's no dissimulation in that love. There is a passion, praise God, that it is the very love of Jesus so matured and grown in a heart that there is no difference between the body and the head, in a sense, in that love, because it's Christ in us that is the hope of glory. And Paul so had brotherly love that he desired to be with and minister to the ones that love the word of God. See, again, Paul was not in a ministry of trying to birth people in Christ. He wasn't out there trying to save the world, going out as we hear of all the missions today. Now, let me tell you something. However Christ is preached, I therein do rejoice. And I am so thankful to God. But brothers and sisters, if we're going to follow Paul as he followed Christ, he was after preaching the goodly pearl message. He was after preaching, praise be to God, many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. He was into a ministry, praise be to God, that there is a company that's going to win him, that is going to rule and to reign jointly with Jesus Christ, that's going to be glorified with him, that is going to be in the midst of the throne, praise the Lord, ruling and reigning, commanding, carrying out with him jointly all of those events and things that will happen throughout the tribulation and beyond. That's the message that Paul was preaching, that Jesus Christ is looking, hallelujah, for his wife, that God has sent the Holy Ghost to minister to those that want that. He wants that for us, brothers and sisters, and this is the ministry that he was giving. Paul withheld nothing. Paul preached the strong meat that was needed to grow up the children into the full, readied wife. He was a missionary, praise God, to ones that were saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. And he desired to bring the spiritual gift. And I think of the spiritual gift that God gives to us and this precious gift that Paul's gospel brings. Paul's gospel brings the spiritual gift of an insatiable desire to win Christ. Amen? It does. That message of Paul, praise God, is the message of the Holy Ghost taking the love of God and shedding it abroad in our heart. It's the message, praise God, that David, in his relationship with the Lord, my heart pants after him. It's the message, praise God, that caused David to forget about everybody and just go dancing before the Lord naked. He didn't care what people thought. It didn't matter. People mocked him. Even his wife said, oh my goodness, what an idiot. But the Lord showed that she was in the wrong, and God shut up her womb because she wasn't a fruitful one, because she didn't get saturated with the love of God. And this is this life right now, brothers and sisters. I want to be one of those fruitful ones. I want to be a fruitful wife to my Lord. I want that fruit, praise God, to come from my life to be pleasing to him. That's what God is after. That's what God is pleased with. And I thank the Lord that the Holy Ghost encourages our hearts to go on to it. But see, this is love magnified power. We're talking about power in the love of God to know the heights, the depth, the length, and the breadth of the love of God to us. Verse 11. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gifts. See, I got a little ahead there. To the end ye may be established. There it is. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. Now, brothers and sisters, I'm telling you something. Those two verses are such high water mark verses in the Word of God. We need to really pay attention to this right now. There's some depth in these two verses right here that are just tremendous for us to receive by his Spirit. the gift that Paul, it says right there, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift. We're talking about a wedding gift now. We're talking about a gift that Paul is bringing, and that word, matter of fact, a spiritual gift, means divine grace. Paul was encouraged in heart to bring to them the message and the encouragement of love in divine grace. And that divine grace, what it does, brothers and sisters, it means to the end ye may be established. And that word established means to be finished, complete, perfect, ready to be offered, all by divine grace. But in these verses, yes, that's awesome, but we're just getting started now. And the reason that Paul was so excited about what God was encouraging him to bring to these precious brothers and sisters in all of this precious Romans, and especially, as I mentioned, starting in that 12th chapter and going on about that extra love, brothers and sisters, that needs to be grown in your hearts, here's the reason why. You go on to verse 12. It says, and comforted together. What that means is exalted together at the same time. At the same time, exalted together. Well, the only thing I believe that Paul was looking for in an exaltation was to be exalted with the Lord at the Lord's day. In due time, ye shall be exalted. Brother Paul, praise God, wanted that first trump rapture exaltation. He wanted for them and for him to have that same time, same together, same exaltation. The wife, the lamb, the bride, hallelujah, the lamb's wife descending from heaven, having the glory of God. I thank the Lord in this. This is what divine grace does. See, divine grace and the love of God doesn't just want it for ourselves. It doesn't work that way. You want it for everybody. The love of God makes you love everybody. The love of God doesn't just shut you up and get you to hole out and say, oh, everybody else is wicked, but I'm good, and I'm just going to sit over here. No, it doesn't. That's not how it works. You don't marry somebody you love and say, okay, now we're going to live apart. You marry somebody you love because you're going to live together. You're not going apart. You want to be together. And this is exactly what Paul is talking about, again, by, how was it? Mutual faith. Wasn't good thoughts, was it? It was the mutual faith. It was the same faith, if by any means I may win him. Amen? Do you have that faith? I do, by the grace of God. I believe that the Lord will work that in my life. I accept the grace of God that he will perform the good work which he's begun in me. Not that I've already apprehended, but I am completely dependent upon him that he's going to have me apprehended. Praise the Lord. Isn't that where my confidence is to be? Not in me, but in him. I know he wants this more for my life than I could ever want it. That's the confidence. That's the mutual faith that I have. Paul had faith and confidence in none other than the love of Jesus Christ to him. And praise the Lord, he knew that the love of God and the faithfulness of God would continue to run him down that race course and to finish with a full joy. And I pray, and I do, I pray fervently, not only for myself, but praise be to God for you as well too, that we win him. How many times over and over does the Lord have us rejoice in that from this pulpit and from these testimonies that come forth? The love of God, that we would win him. Hallelujah. How magnificent. I thrill as much for you to run well as it is for me. But I understand by God's grace, this life, this little vessel here, I've got to take it and I've got to run myself by God's grace. I want to encourage you. And as we run alone, we run together to win him. That's what's so awesome. That's what's so wonderful and so amazing with the Lord. So again, Paul, wanting that exalting, praise God, that bride, the Lamb's wife, at the same time with these folks, not to me only, but to all them also that love his appearing. I love how Paul loved, the love of God in that, brother. And I know that Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, I know this word is alive. And I hear that precious brother Paul preaching that to me. Amen? That's how it is. This wasn't some story a long time back. I'm right there listening to this by the grace of God. And this is for me. Now, verse 13 and 14. Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oft times I purposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto. That means he was not allowed to do that. God had him somewhere else or something else come up, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. And let this really speak to us, because we have this same debt. To whom much is given, much is required. Brothers and sisters, we have this high calling of message, high calling of God in Christ Jesus. We have been given that. We have been given the very inheritance of the fullness of God. There is much required in that. And praise God, if the love of God is really shed abroad in our hearts, if that love of God is really grown and sown in our hearts, we do not become reclusive. We don't become miserly. Matter of fact, my goodness, brothers and sisters, we have the very heart and the passion of Jesus Christ himself to touch all and any we can. The Lord gives us opportunity to ready and prepare to give every man an answer for the hope that lies within us. Amen? Amen. That's what this is. That's the encouragement. I think of it like this, and I've said it before. I would hope that, well, I can say it personally, but I don't want to embarrass her. But I was proud to marry my wife. I was thankful I could show people her picture. Praise the Lord. Most people say, "Well, how did that happen? What'd she see in you?" But no, it wasn't like, "Well, I'm going to hide this and I'm ashamed and that type of thing." No, you want to show when you're in love with somebody. Here she is, praise God. He's my glory, just like he puts me out and says, by the grace of God someday, here's my glory, she is my glory. The woman is the glory of man. This is what this is about. Don't be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Praise God, it's our power. Hallelujah, it's our salvation. And this is what God is encouraging us to be encouraged to give every man, ready to give every man an answer. So verse 15, so as much as is in me, listen to that, as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. Now, here's a question. How much lies within us? Is he really our life? Praise God. Is Jesus Christ really our first love? Are we in so love with him that, praise the Lord, we want to minister? That our lives be a living sacrifice? Huh? That it really is Christ in us, the hope of glory? Help us not to grow weary in well-doing, huh? Yeah. I know sometimes we need to rest. And I understand that. The Lord even showed us that. But God, help us never to put ourselves in front of anything. I want him to care for me. And praise be to God, I do want to be a vessel that he uses. And I thank the Lord that he encourages us like that. So, I thank God for that testimony of verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Now, grace working in the saints, praise God. We are not ashamed. I thank the Lord. You see this world, God has given us great opportunity right now. As a whole, in a lot of ways, Christians have never been so ridiculed. If you're a Christian, you're already biased. If you're a Christian, there's already something wrong with you. It just is the way that, again, God said that the evil would be. And I thank God that we have such a powerful time to live in, that we instead can be proud of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that we can witness and go forth. And I am thankful, praise God, and you see people bringing people to church in here. I thank the Lord. I love to get around people and to hear that they love Jesus, but I really look for opportunities by the grace of God. Lord, would this person want to know more about you? Do they want to know more about the high calling of God in Christ Jesus? You're saved? That's wonderful. Are you filled with the Holy Ghost? Do you know what that means? Now, if they don't want to have anything to do with that, I don't want to offend them. I don't. Matter of fact, it's a privilege. Never want to force anything on you anyways. But I'll tell you what, people start talking to you about the Lord, don't hold back. Don't try to figure it out. I remember I used to try to strategize, and I'll just be honest, how I was going to tell somebody about the Lord. Oh, you're this? Well, I've got a plan for that kind of a person. That's so stupid, it's not even funny. Let me tell you something, the Spirit gives you utterance, and He does, and just let Him do it. Whenever you speak, just be a mouthpiece. Let God speak. I thank the Lord. He'll prepare these things in my heart as we, you know, come forth in studies or sermons or things of that nature. But praise be to God. My expectation better be in Him. It's not in how prepared I was or how much I read or how many notes I did. I do this till I'm blue in the face. By God's grace, if it's going to be truth and love, it's going to be Him. And Lord, help us to really have that confidence of trusting God when we witness to people. That the Lord, He will give us those words, and they will be right. And sometimes you even think, oh, I wish I didn't say that, or I botched that up or something. I'm telling you, some of the sermons that I felt, my goodness, what in the world did I say? Those were the most powerful ones that God ever gave. And I'm telling you the truth. Sometimes when I felt, wow, that was really came, it just was such a pleasure and all that, I'd pray at that time, boy, I hope it was a pleasure to people to hear that. But really, oftentimes, it's those struggling times. Some of the phone calls you get, I just sit there and shake my head. Man, God, that's just You. Because I don't even remember saying that one. But see, that's how God does it, and that's how we need to trust Him. But see, and we'll wrap this up here and how sweet all this is, but be willing to be used of the Lord. See, if you really love your family, if you really love your friends, tell them about Jesus. See, sometimes we have the hardest time telling those that are close to us about the Lord because sometimes your natural love can get in ahead of God's love. Well, I don't want to offend them. I don't want to hurt my friendship. I don't want to do these. Let me tell you something. You're here for one purpose, and that's for the Lord to live in you and to speak through you and for you to be a vessel, to be willing to be used of the Lord. Amen? Isn't that what it is, a vessel, the true meaning of it, is a wife adding to the usefulness of the husband? Praise God. Don't be ashamed of your husband. Tell about him. Hallelujah. Be ready to tell about Jesus. And especially those that you have relationships with. If they want to go on with the Lord, those are the ones you should be hanging around. If they don't want to have anything to do with God, it's a good time to say so long. Don't waste your time in that. Go on with God. And it doesn't matter. Like he said, if you love father or mother or sister or brother or anybody more than me, you're not worthy to come after me. God is very direct. Lovest thou me more than these? He's a jealous lover. He's a jealous God. He gave you, remember how we started this? He gave you his only begotten son. He pursues us. And remember, you can think whatever you want when I'm saying something like that, and that is the word of God, by the way. But remember one thing, he's God. And this is how he set it up. And by the grace of God, you better pray, Lord, not only let me like it, let me love it. Let me come after you, and what a peace that passes all understanding just floods our hearts. All right, let's close it up with verse 17. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Aren't you thankful you don't live by works? Aren't you so thankful you don't live by deeds? But see, here's the beautiful thing about what faith does. It produces the greatest works and the greatest deeds your life could ever produce. But it's all motivated because of one thing, the grace and the love of God that brings the faith in your life that produces all that. It still always comes from Him. But it will perform these things in our life. He will have us doing exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think. But that's what this is. That's how righteousness is revealed. This is how it's made known even in its heights, the exalted rank of righteousness, the crown that Paul spoke about. Praise be to God. It's all because the just shall live by faith. It's how it all happens. You believe God. You mean the Bible said that? Well, I need that. See, that was that precious brother back there in Kansas. That's how he went all the way along in hearing the Word of God. You mean the Word of God said He wants me to be filled with the Holy Ghost? And that's going to allow my life to be transformed because I will be led and guided and to be able to have the ability to understand all truth? Well, I need that if God said that. And bang, he was filled with the Holy Ghost right then. And then in going on as he heard these things, Lord, it was really, it's all a cookie on the shelf. By his Spirit, it's all a cookie on the shelf. You mean God said that? Well, I'm going to eat that too. And God said that, man, that's for me too. But see, because of man's tradition, because of man's religion, because of man's philosophy, because of their stomachs, that is, all they want is filthy lucre, meaning they're after money, they set up these things that, no, you can't have that. God wouldn't say that. Well, it does say that. Well, let's just take that out of our Bible. Why do you think they have all these versions? Don't be deceived. And it's the truth. Many of the rewrites of the Bible and different things are missing many, many things. And it's a subtle thing. Now, I know God's able, but I'm telling you, when he gives you the whole counsel of God, take it. Take it. God said that? Well, then that's for me. Praise be to God. That's how simple faith is as a child. It comes one way, brothers and sisters, and it says right here, as we just read, faith to faith. See, believing begats more believing, doesn't it? Isn't that wonderful how that does? See, faith to faith. And that doesn't just mean from one person to another. I thank the Lord how that works, but he's talking about here in us as well too. Faith to faith builds all the promises of God in our life. As thou hast believed, remember that precious thing we just studied the other day? As thou hast believed, so be it done unto you. What do you believe? Do you believe in salvation? I do. So be it done unto you. I believe Jesus is my Savior. So be it done unto me. Praise be to God. I believe in the infilling of the Spirit. And praise be to God, the Lord encouraged me to seek him. And bang, the infilling of the Holy Ghost. I believe that I can be full of the Holy Ghost. And he brings that to you too. Isn't that wonderful? I believe that God is going to perfect and perform the good work which he has begun. And I believe that by the grace of God, I glory in that man. I have that vision that Paul has. Praise the Lord. He said, not unto me only, but to all them also that love his appearing. I glory in that man that wins his best. And someday, I believe it, bang, in a twinkling of an eye, I'm going to see him face to face. I have won him. Hallelujah. That's what I expect because of the grace of God. And not again that I've apprehended. Oh, I still got a long way to go. But he can take me there awful fast. I'm relying on him. Praise his name. Now, faith begats more faith. And why? Because how does faith come? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So if you hear the word of God and receive faith, it's going to give you more faith, isn't it? But see, what happens and what's happening to people is there's a famine for the word of God. Isn't that amazing? And when the word is left over man's philosophy or tradition or religion or principles or bitterness, you know what happens to faith? It just stops. Stops growing because faith only comes one way, and that's by hearing and hearing by the word of God. But what is saturating the pulpits? What is becoming just rampant in the churches? Man's thoughts, philosophy, good thoughts, political things, whatever they want to talk about, the sensation of the day. If the most sensational thing isn't the word of God to you, you missed it all. But see, it says that men won't endure sound doctrine, will they? That's why these pews should be full. They should be absolutely full. You talking about the riches forever. Exceeding riches that of his grace that we couldn't even fathom. And like I said, tonight if I ran an ad in the paper and said, hey, look, I'm giving out $100 bills, this place would be full. Absolutely full. All right. Our lives live by one thing, and that is the faith of the Son of God. Anything else we try to live by, brothers and sisters, it won't work. It'll be a dead end. It'll be a regret. Your life lives by one way. I mean, think of it like this, and it's even not, it can't even compare. You live by breathing oxygen, amen? You do. Okay, well, I'm going to live by breathing water, so I'm just going to go in a lake and get some heavy boots and go down there and breathe. Well, you'd say, you nut, and I'd be dead pretty quick. But that's how stupid it would be. How much more so when God tells you that the life you now live is by the faith of the Son of God, and we go out and try to live another way? Huh? That's God speaking. And I believe that that's real important. And I believe that God's word is true, and it's impossible for him to lie. God help us to wake up. Amen? Awaken. Now is the time to awake. It is high time. So I'm just going to leave it with that. But this is some incredible stuff. And I thank the Lord. And I'm going to tell you something. We're going to hit this full speed. Amen? We don't have much time. We're going to move through this. And get on your camel and hold on. The Holy Spirit take us on a ride. But I'll tell you, next week, God willing, we'll finish up that first chapter. And it's loaded with such beautiful things. And a lot of people say, oh, that's not beautiful, that second chapter. I mean, the second half of the first chapter. That's sad stuff. Yeah, it is sad. It talks about the degradation of man. But the beautiful thing is when you see it in the eyes of God, you realize Jesus is coming. And you see that the sinner can't help but do what God said the sinner would do. We're going to rejoice in seeing how man is worshiping the creation more than the creator. That we're in that time that they don't give glory to God anymore. And the sin that busts loose on this scene, you're going to say, oh my goodness. This is why we're passing this law, and this is why we're passing this law, and this is why it's okay to do this, and this is why they're encouraging us to do that. And not just here in the U.S. of A., all over the world. It's happening fast, brothers and sisters. And when you see these things come to pass, look up, because I'm coming. Hallelujah. Let's stand and be dismissed. Praise God.